Thank you, praise team, for leading us in worship this morning. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. We started to look at this last week and laid the groundwork, so if you weren't here, I apologize. You're going to, as we go through this series, I said we're going to have a lot of messages that take us 2 weeks to get through. But in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. So I don't care what your view is of the world today, what your view is of Scripture, I'm going to tell you that Colossians is up to date. And Colossians applies to what we are going through today. It applies to where we are at in our world today. And we looked at the city a little bit. And the main city in that region was Ephesus. Ephesus was a port city where a lot of things were happening. Colossae was about 100 miles inland from Ephesus. It was one of three cities. Hierapolis and Laodicea were right there as well. An important trade route went through there. By the time Paul is writing this letter, Colossae is a very dying town. There's not much happening there. Probably never, ever would have been mentioned in Scripture if not for the church that was there. And then we began to look at the church a little bit. Paul did not found the church in Colossae. Paul had never even visited the church in Colossae. It came about from his ministry in Ephesus, the 3 years he spent ministering there, and those that he had led to Christ as they took the gospel message and they went out. And remember, we looked at that verse in Acts that said, all in Asia heard the word because of what Paul was proclaiming, and as people were being saved, they were taking that gospel message. And so it went to these areas, and Epaphras and Philemon were the two key men involved in getting the ministry going in Colossae. Then we started to talk about the crisis. There was false teaching that was making its way into the church. In fact, at this time, Epaphras, who was there ministering in the church, went to Rome where Paul was in prison. And he met with him because of all the false teaching, the heresy that was invading the church, and people were being led astray. They were being deluded. And the false teaching was a combination of Eastern philosophy and Jewish legalism and some Gnosticism that was mixed in. And they were coming in saying, all right, yes, we agree that Jesus Christ is good. But Jesus Christ isn't enough. We need to add to that. We need to give you some more teaching. We need to give you some more disciplines, some more ceremonies, some more things you need to put into practice so that you can become more spiritual, that you can reach spiritual fullness. And they use the word fullness a lot in the Gnostics did. And that you can grow and you can get to a level and you can achieve things that the average Christian cannot achieve. That's basically what we were talking about last week. And so we'll pick up there this morning and still under number three, the crisis. It's easy to see how that kind of teaching undermined the very foundations of the Christian faith. Because to begin with, the heretics attacked the person and work of Jesus Christ. We talked about the fact that they taught about spiritual emanations. Now, spiritual emanation, we said, is different teachings originating from the same source. And so they taught that there were different teachings that were coming from God, that he taught a different thing to different groups and it applied in different ways. And they said, Jesus isn't the Son of God. He is simply one of God's emanations. He's one of those specific teachings, and it's for a specific area and specific time, but he is not the Son of God. Now, God's Word clearly states, when it talks about the birth of Christ in Matthew chapter 1, 23, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. The incarnation means that. God with us. But these false teachers claimed that God was keeping his distance from us because we were part of matter and matter was evil. Everything you could see and touch was evil. When I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, then God, the Holy Spirit, comes to reside within me. I'm a child of God. I don't need an angelic go-between. That's what the false teachers were claiming. You need to pray to an angel. You need to pray to, because you need somebody to represent you before God and plead your case. And I'm a child of God. I don't need that. I have Jesus Christ, and He is all I need. You know, and on the cross, Jesus settled the sin question. Colossians 1, verse 20. And through Him, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Excuse me. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, He completely defeated the forces of Satan. Chapter 2, verse 15. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities. Talking about Satan and his demonic forces. In chapter 2, verse 14, it says He put an end to the legal demands of the law, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus alone is the preeminent one. You're going to hear me use that word often as we go through this study in Colossians. He is the preeminent one. Preeminent means surpassing all others, far beyond and above all others. Chapter 1, verse 18. The end of the verse says, He Himself will come to have first place in everything. In chapter 3, verse 11, the end of that verse says, But Christ is all. But Christ is all. Having first place in everything. Jesus is all that we as believers need. Listen very closely to that statement. Jesus is all that we as believers need. We don't need more than Christ. We need more of Christ because I need to spend more time in His Word. I need to spend more time getting to know Christ and understanding who He is and letting the Holy Spirit lead me into His truth. But He's all I need. Jesus Christ is all I need. False teachers taught that matter was evil. Matter is not evil. The human body is not evil. When God created mankind, He looked at all of creation and said, what? It is good. Yes, we are born with a sin nature. And that sin nature wants to use these bodies for evil. That doesn't make the body evil. You know, God made these bodies. If the body was evil, Jesus Christ never would have come to this earth in human form. He never would have enjoyed the everyday blessings of life as He ministered here on this earth. He enjoyed going to the wedding feasts and celebrating. Colton, I'm sorry, but I don't enjoy wedding feasts. Sorry, you guys. He enjoyed the wedding feasts. He enjoyed going in those invitations to dinner. He enjoyed the everyday things in life while He was here on this earth because the matter's not evil. And He enjoyed the things that were part of God's creation. They taught that you had to have certain foods that you ate. And you had to have a certain spiritual diet in order to be spiritually healthy. I don't care what kind of food you eat. It's not going to make you closer to Christ. Now, a diet would do me good for my health. But it's not going to help me grow in my relationship with Christ. It's not going to help me become more spiritual. And Paul, another teaching, he came along and he quickly denounced and strongly denounced the influence of angels and the heavenly bodies of praying to the stars or praying to the angels. On the cross, Jesus Christ won a complete victory over all satanic powers. Chapter 2, verse 15 we looked at. We don't need to turn to the elementary principles of the world. The Gnostics believed that the heavenly bodies, the planets, the moon, the stars, controlled the events here on earth. People who consult their horoscopes believe the same thing. If you consult your horoscope, then you're substituting superstition for God's truth, God's revelation. You're denying the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this false teaching was a deceptive combination of a lot of things. We talked about a few of them last week, but it involved Jewish legalism. It brought in Oriental philosophy and pagan astrology and mysticism and asceticism and even a touch of Christianity. There was something for everybody. And that's what made it so dangerous because the false teachers claimed that they weren't denying the Christian faith. They weren't denying Jesus Christ. They were simply improving it. and making it better and adding to it so that we could get to a higher level. They offered fullness and freedom were words that they used. They offered a satisfying life, and for every problem you face, we have an answer. That same heresy is around us today. And Christians are being led astray. They're being duped. Listen to me. Just because you can get it at a Christian bookstore, just because you can buy it at CBD, doesn't mean it's God's truth. Right? You have to test the scriptures as the Bereans did. You have to look at what you're reading. Does this line up with the truth of the Word of God? If something promises you, I can take you higher spiritually than you've ever been, if you put this into practice, throw it away. All you need is Jesus Christ and God's truth. Yes, there are things that can help us grow spiritually, but you never can add to Jesus Christ. There's nothing to add to Jesus Christ. And here Paul is teaching them God's truth. When we make Jesus Christ simply a part of the revelation and the truth process, then we're messing up. He is all of God's truth. He is God's truth. And if I look for formulas and I do different ceremonies, I do different things, and it's going to help me achieve more spiritual fullness, I'm not walking forward in my walk with Christ. I'm walking backwards. I'm getting farther away from God's truth and where He wants me to be. You know, things that help you achieve a higher power or force are dangerous. When you connect in, well, I have to add yoga, and I have to add mysticism, and I have to add this, and I have to add this to grow and get to a higher place spiritually. No, you don't. Those are very dangerous things. All I need is Christ. And this false teaching that was making its way in the church was in direct contrast to what Paul was teaching. You know, the teaching that God is far away, that matter is evil, that demonic forces continually threaten us. Yes, Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, but I don't have to live in fear because God is in control. God's Word teaches me that God is near to us. God made all things and called them good. Yeah, they can be used for evil, but matter's not evil. God created them. Christ has delivered His people from the power of darkness. Chapter 1, verse 13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. This heresy, this false teaching, turned the world into a frightful place. Jesus made it very clear. God has not turned His back on this world. God is still in control. God is a sovereign God, and God is a holy and loving and just God, and He cares for His own. And these false teachers came and they tried to change people from the outside. Do this, do this, do this, do this. You'll become spiritual. God's truth transforms people from the inside. It changes the heart. It influences our mind and directs and guides us. Now let's think about number four, the correspondence. The correspondence, this letter that Paul writes, Colossians, what we have in our Bible. All of that gives us a little background to look at Paul's letter to the Colossians and gives us an overview of what was written. We talked about last week that this letter was written about the same time as the letter that was sent to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. And there are actually many parallels between these two letters because of where Paul was at in his life, of where Paul was at in his ministry, and what God was using him to teach and how God is inspiring him. We see a lot of parallels, but there's a major difference. Ephesians is focusing on the body of Christ, how we are to react and relate to each other, how we are to treat each other, and the main emphasis is on the body. Colossians, the main emphasis is on the head of the body. It's on Jesus Christ. And the focus is on learning about Christ and who He is and what He does and how He makes a difference in our lives. In this letter, Paul uses the vocabulary of the false teachers because the Gnostics came in, these false teachers came in, and they used words like fullness and perfect and complete. You'll find that he uses the little word all 30 times in this letter, words that they used, but he uses God's definition. not the definition they use. And so he teaches God's truth, and he writes about things that they're talking about, but he talks about them from God's truth. Talks about wisdom. He has a lot to say about angels and spirit powers. But again, his primary emphasis in Colossians is the preeminence of Christ. Jesus Christ is over all. Jesus Christ is above all. No one comes close to Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about angelic mediators or spiritual emanations. God sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And every person that places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and is saved, and they're part of his body, the church, where he is the head. Again, chapter 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. We are united with Christ in a wonderful relationship. Excuse me. And what's awesome is I don't need to add anything to that to grow in that relationship. I don't have to seek more truth or something deeper or more profound. Chapter 2, look at chapter 2, verse 10. In him you have been made what? Complete. In him you have made complete. Not perfect. You know, but in him you have been made complete. The verse just before that, verse 9 of chapter 2. In him all the fullness of deity dwells. God's goodness dwells in Christ, and we share that fullness. In his commentary, Warren Wiersbe was talking about one day he was in the airport, and a young man came up to him and said, I'd like to give you a book to read. And he could tell just by looking at the cover that it was about Oriental philosophies and mysticism. And he looked at him, and he said, young man, I have a book here that meets all my needs. And he opened up his bag and he pulled out his Bible. And he said, you know, we're not against the Bible. We just have something that helps you get deeper. It helps you grow more. And he said, young man, nobody can give me more than Jesus Christ. And he started to open his Bible and he was going to read to him from Colossians chapter 2. And by the time he looked up, he was down the hallway talking to somebody else. But, you know, how many people in our churches today would grab that book and say, yeah, now I've got something nobody else in the church has. I can grow more than they can. I can get deeper than they can because I have this extra truth. We can't have more than Jesus Christ. We can't get deeper. We can't get farther in our walk with, you know, apart from adding Christ. So you have to have and understand it's all about Christ. Now, in this letter, Paul doesn't begin by attacking the false teachers and their doctrine. He begins in chapter 1 by focusing on Christ, by exalting Jesus Christ, by showing his preeminence and his preeminence in the gospel message, his preeminence in redemption, his preeminence in creation, in the church, in Paul's own ministry. Those that he was writing to at Colossae, the church that met in Colossae, were Christians because they had heard the message that Epaphras had brought to them, the gospel message of how you're saved by faith in Christ. And if that message was wrong, then they weren't even saved to begin with, let alone tried to go deeper in their relationship. You don't change the truth. You don't alter the truth. After Paul spends chapter 1 focusing on the preeminence of Christ, then he goes and he attacks the heretics on their own ground. In chapter 2, he exposes the origins of their teaching. He showed how their teaching directly contrasted and contradicted the truth about Jesus Christ. And if we understand, and it's going to take us a while till we get there, but as we go through chapter 2 and we look verse by verse at chapter 2, if we understand and we put into practice the information that Paul gives us in chapter 2, then we're not likely going to be led astray when some alluring thing comes along that's going to help us grow deeper. Going to offer something more. We need to understand what Paul is giving us here. But soon after he addressed the heretics, he didn't consider his job done. He didn't stop the letter after chapter 2. He still had some important things to share with the church. And then in chapters 3 and 4, Paul exclaimed and explained, excuse me, the greatest antidote to false teaching is a godly life. Those who say, I don't care what you believe, just as you live a good life, are very, very much led astray. Because what you believe determines how you live. What you believe affects your actions. You know, if we believe that matter is evil, we're going to use our bodies that way. If we believe our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, we're going to live that way. Wrong doctrine always leads to wrong living. Right doctrine should lead to right living. And in chapters 3 and 4, Paul applies the preeminence of Christ to our everyday affairs of life. If Jesus is truly preeminent, if he's truly above all in our lives, if he's on the throne, if we're trusting him and we're relying on him, then we're going to glorify him by keeping our lives pure, by saying no to sin. We're going to glorify him by enjoying fellowship with other believers. We're going to glorify him by interacting in a loving way in our homes and by being faithful at work, by being a witness for Jesus Christ and serving him effectively. That's what he talks about in chapters 3 and 4. Unless doctrine leads to duty, to action, it's of no use to us. You know, somebody said a long, long time ago, I have no idea where it originated. It's been around for longer than I've been alive. But you really only believe what you put into practice in your life. You can say, I believe this is true about the Word of God, and I believe and I stand on this doctrine. If it doesn't change how you live your life, you really don't believe it. You really only believe what influences your life and what you put into practice in your life. Now, there are many Bible scholars, if you do a study on Colossians, there are many Bible scholars that think that Colossians is the most profound letter that Paul ever wrote. It's deep in truths. Don't let that scare you from studying Colossians, but that ought to caution us that we need to be very careful to rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. That we need to listen what God's truth says. We live in a day of religious toleration. One religion is just as good as another. And some people try to take the best from different religions and manufacture their own private religion. To a lot of people, Jesus Christ is simply one of the great religious teachers. He has no more authority than anybody else. To them, Jesus Christ is prominent, but he's not preeminent. He's not overall. We live in an age of syncretism, which means that people are trying to bring about an amalgamation of all these religions to break in some higher religion. Let's bring this truth and this truth and this truth, and or this supposed truth, supposed truth, supposed truth. And we'll put it all together and then we'll be okay. Our churches today, churches like Three Rivers Bible Church, churches around the globe are in danger of diluting God's truth. Let's just be loving and embrace everything. God didn't embrace everything. Jesus Christ spoke out against error. You know, we have to camp out on God's truth. And these false teachers, they weren't denying Christ, but they were dethroning Christ. He wasn't prominent. He wasn't enough. We had to add to it. As we study this letter, we need to pay attention to Paul's warnings. Look at chapter 2, verse 4, he says, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Verse 8 of chapter 2, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Chapter 2, verse 16, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Paul says, don't listen to people. Listen to God's truth. If we want to stand strong for Christ in a world that's pulling us in so many directions today, we need to know God's truth, period. There's no substitute for spending time in the Word of God. We must be in the Word of God. If the only time you're hearing the Word of God is when you walk through these doors, God help you. Because you're not saturating your life and your mind with God's truth. You can't have more than Christ. He's all we need. Amen. Father, thank you for this letter that you inspired Paul to record, and it's recorded for us in your truth, your word. And Lord, help us to pay attention to this letter. It applies to where we're at today. Lord, there's false teaching all around. And a lot of Christians are being deluded and they're falling to deception. And they're adding to the Word of God. Lord, help us to be mindful of your truth. Help us to know your truth. Help us to study, to be led by your Holy Spirit into your truth, and to live out your truth. Lord, as we embark on this study through Colossians, may your Holy Spirit guide us into that truth that you inspired Paul to give to that church at Colossae, in Laodicea, in Hierapolis. But Lord, that still, years and years and years and years later, is a letter that we need to receive today and to listen to and to put into practice. Help us to do that, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name.